Honestly, E.T., you led that so well. Thank you so, so much. Yeah, well, so I realised this morning at the 9:30, that so this is the last sermon on the New Testament I will ever give at St. Barnabas Church. Thank you very much. Very sad, isn't it? Oh, there's a little baby crying over there. Yes, there's an anointing on that child. Discerning. Exciting part of the service when we get to read the scriptures together. I'm going to read them for you, and they're going to be on the screen. If you want a church Bible, stick your hand up. One will magically appear. Otherwise, if you've got the scriptures with you or on your phone, you can follow them. But this is from Romans 12, beginning at verse 3. Romans 12, 3. Paul writes, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, do so cheerfully." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, great. Okay, now we are in the middle of a sermon series called The Body Beautiful, Discovering or Rediscovering Our Spiritual Gifts. Body as in the body of, thank you very much, the body of Christ, the New Testament analogy for the church, or one of the New Testament analogies for the church, a body made up with different parts, every part needed if the body's going to function healthily. And according to Paul, the Holy Spirit gives each of us, as part of the body, special abilities to fulfill this God-given function that we have. So everyone here this morning, we all have a God-given function, and it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to fulfill that function so that the church can operate healthily like a body. And as I said a little while ago, we've just plucked five of these out. We did pray about it, but it was not completely random. But we chose five of these spiritual gifts from Paul's lists in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Now, these lists are not exhaustive. Would you say that with me? These lists are not exhaustive, meaning that you could have a spiritual gift to fulfill your role in the body of Christ, which isn't among Paul's lists. A good example of that is the spiritual gift of car park marshalling. It could be that that is your spiritual gift to bless and help the body of Christ operate really well. If it is, talk to Dave, come and talk to me. We'd love to get you a luminous bib. First thing about these lists of Paul's, they are not exhaustive. Second thing, the gifts are for the whole church. They're not for the individual, for our own blessing. They're for everyone and the benefit of others. And the third thing that I wanted to say about these gifts in general is that we love the giver, not the gifts. We can get pretty caught up on the gifts and excited about those, and rightly so, they are fabulous. But that's not what we love. You know, we eagerly desire the gifts, but we love Holy Spirit who gives us the gifts. And if you want to hear more on those three points, listen to the first sermon of the series, which is online. Today, we are thinking about the gift of leadership. I'm going to distinguish, as a teacher on leadership, between what I call natural and learned leadership. Natural and learned leadership. What am I going to distinguish between? Thank you very much. Yes, natural and learned leadership. I'm going to talk about a bit about leadership, natural and learned, and then we're going to ask Holy Spirit to release this gift for the benefit of the body of Christ and, of course, beyond. Does that sound like a good plan for this morning? Mm-hmm. Are you happy with that?
Yep.
All right, great. So, the spiritual gift of leadership. If you're not happy, I don't know what to suggest. But it's nice to be happy, isn't it? Yes. Spiritual gift of leadership. How do you know if you have the spiritual gift of leadership, because sometimes it's not obvious. And sometimes people think, well, do I have this gift? Is this one of my gifts? I don't know. Some say I do, some say I don't. There are countless superb vocational and psychometric tests which help a person to identify whether this is a gift that they have or not, whether they are a leader or not, whether they have the gift of leadership, and what kind of leadership they have. I want to tell you what I think the best test is. The best test to help us discern, do we have the gift of leadership or not? Are you ready? No. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Best test is look over your shoulder. Look over your shoulder. Do you know what I mean? You look over your shoulder. If there's anyone following you, then you probably have the gift of leadership. It's probably something that you have. If when you look over your shoulder regularly, you see people following you. That's quite a simple test. Sorry if that disappoints some of you. There aren't any charts or graphs involved. But I think it's the best way of helping us discern, is this a gift that I have, or is this a gift that's growing in me? I love walking Archie to school. I've told you a story when I was walking Archie to school, and we prayed together every time we walked to school, and he had a prophetic word, and that was part of my last sermon on this series. But I love walking Archie to school, and one of the other reasons I like walking him to school is when we get to the playground, there's this thing called, Beth named it Dad's Club, right? What do you call it? Dads Are Us. It's this little cozy group of dads who stand in the same part of the playground and they chat to one another. And they're a lovely bunch, but oh my goodness, breaking into that group was quite the challenge. But eventually I did. I sort of just kept, you know, I just bowled up. I thought, that looks like a nice group of guys who definitely need to hear about Jesus. So I'm just going to go up and rudely butt in. So I just went up to them and said, hi, I'm not sure I know you. My name's Colin. Yeah, I'm a father of Archie. Yeah, how do you do? Yeah, good to see you. Oh, you guys all know each other. And now you know me. That's great. And it took me a little while to be accepted, I have to say. But now, after two terms, I feel like I've been taken in. I'm one of them. I'm one of their own. And so I hang out with, I call them Dad's Club. What do you call them again? The Dads? Dads Are Us. So I'm one of the Dads Are Us now, I like to think. The group's got a lot bigger since I joined because, you know, I'm going to get the groovy dads. Well, there's one guy in particular, Sarah, who is a groovy dad. He's well-dressed and he's really cool. And he has the gift of leadership. He's not a Christian, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure he's not a Christian. But he has this incredible gift of leadership. Whenever the group forms, it tends to form around him. This is Rami I'm thinking of. Yeah, you know? Oh, that's it, yeah. So he's not here this morning, is he? I have to be careful what I say. I've only positive things to say about him, actually. He's a wonderful, lovely guy. He's got this magnetic personality. And when Rami says, well, it's sort of time to head off to the cars, we were like, oh, yeah, that's good, yeah. And we just follow him. We say, oh, if Rami's walking slowly, we tend to walk slowly. If he's in a bit of a hurry, we tend to hurry to keep up with him. Because he's just got this gravity, and I just find myself happily being drawn into his gravity. He's just got this natural gift of leadership. How do I know that he has this gift of leadership? He looks over his shoulder and Colin and the other dads are just training along after him like little ducklings. He doesn't try. It just happens naturally. It's a natural gift of leadership. Now, sometimes there are people who seem to be leaders because what they're doing is they're corralling others. They're organizing and corralling others. Now, that is not the gift of leadership. That's what we call the gift of bossiness. You know, you have them, you know, so there's a dinner table or something. Oh, you want to sit next to her, but there's not room. Okay, well, why don't you come and sit here and then you move over there. And is that your coat? Mind your coat and over there. And oh, no, that's not working now. So everyone back again, try again. And well, we move those chairs. We've got another chair in the kitchen. We'll bring a chair. It's not leadership. It's bossiness. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Bossiness has its place. It can be a very effective way of getting things done. I often am very glad of bossy people. When we lived in Cambridge, there was a woman who lived on our road. And if we wanted anything, any bins moved or anyone organized or a hedge cut in a certain way, she'd be on it and she'd be organizing the whole time. And so lots of good and helpful things can come out of bossiness. But that is not what Paul is describing here in Romans 12. What Paul is describing is the tendency to find that people happily follow you. And you don't really have to try. You don't have to boss or corral people. And for some people, it's, well, they're just naturals. I'll give you an example of my friend Rami, who's a dad at Archie's school. I want to give you another example, someone that you know here at St. Barnabas, who has this natural anointing, and it's Peter Landry. Peter and I go swimming occasionally. That is a photograph I took of him. Should we go on to a less distracting picture of Peter? Yeah, that's better. Okay. Peter is not assertive or bossy. Peter is actually very gentle, those of you who know him. He's a gentleman, he's a gentle nature. And people just gradually gather to him and naturally fall in behind him in ministry and in social settings as well. And I find myself with Peter just thinking, well, I don't know, what does Peter want to do? What Peter wants to do, that's probably what I want to follow. It's probably what I want to do, even though I manage him, because he has such an anointing of leadership and he carries it so well. It is not something that he tries at all. It's something that just happens. There's a gravity to Peter and people just are drawn into that gravity naturally. It's the anointing that Paul is referring to in Romans 12, the gift of the Holy Spirit that is leadership. Another example, someone that you know, is Trevlyn. Trevlyn, who is also on staff here at St. Barnabas. Now, she wouldn't probably recognize herself as a leader, and yet it is obvious to me that she has the anointing of a leader. Whenever she comes up with an idea or a suggestion, it just flies. People get behind it. You may remember, because I've mentioned it a few times, the Bake Off sweepstake that she organized on the staff team that I won. I've only mentioned it about 500 times, and I'm going to keep milking it, because I saw Raoul when Trevlyn was describing the different people and I thought, that's the one I want to back, and I won that sweepstake. It was Trevlyn's idea, and whenever Trevlyn has an idea or a suggestion, it tends to gather momentum. People tend to get behind it. We just tend to follow her lead. Now, interestingly, as far as I'm aware, there's nothing in Trevlyn's job description about leadership roles, and yet she leads. I'm pretty sure she wouldn't describe herself as a leader, and yet she leads. She desperately avoids the limelight. She does not like being here on the platform, and yet she leads. There is evidence of this anointing on her for all to see, and she uses her leadership gift in countless non-platformy ways for God's kingdom. I see in her the spiritual gift of leadership expressed very differently to Peter, but equally as effective and fruitful for God. Now, I'm going to make a short tangent, and it's going to be a slightly controversial one for some here. A short tangent is this, on the back of my last example. Some Christians believe that women shouldn't lead in church contexts. And the reason they think that is because of a peculiar verse in 1 Timothy 2, which actually doesn't mean what you think it means at first reading. It's a very, very hard to interpret verse. And some people have based the whole theology of women not leading in church on that verse. It's a mistake to do that. They come up with a conclusion that, well, leadership in church has to be male, or that wherever women are leading, there needs to be a man over them leading. Is that right? Is leadership the preserve of men in church? Well, according to the Bible, no. No, it's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches. Although the vast majority of anointed leaders in the Bible are male, examples such as Deborah in the Old Testament and Priscilla in the New Testament show us that the gift is not gender exclusive. Now, there are Bible verses which point to headship in Christian families being intended by God as being fulfilled by husbands. But it is a biblically unsound leap to go from the Bible's teaching on domestic headship to the leadership structures of the church family. Now, I sit very happily under the leadership of Bishop Sarah. Here she is on the screen, not literally walked in through the door, although that would be fun. Firstly, I sit under her leadership very happily because she's a great leader. You've just seen that video of what she's, what she and her team are cooking up for the church in London. It's an exciting time to be part of this diocese. But I also sit under her leadership because I find nothing in the Bible to suggest that I shouldn't. This is just an aside, and I know the vast majority of people here at St. Barnabas think the same. If you don't think that, I would gladly have a conversation with you, either after the sermon, or you can drop me an email and we'll meet up and I'll unpack a little bit more of why I think what I think. And I'd like to hear why you think what you think. But it's just an aside. So, the dad in the playground, Peter Landry and Trevlin, I think are all examples of what I would call naturally gifted leadership. Leadership that is anointed by the Spirit of God. It's just it's their thing. It's their natural thing. But just as with all gifts and abilities, gifts like dancing, gifts like maths, I was talking to Shirley earlier on, and Taris apparently is very, very good at maths. I'm in awe of that. I'm not. Someone asked me the other day, what's 31 minus 7? And I went cold. I don't know. Ask the children. Dancing, maths, football, all gifts that we have. Leadership is a gift that can be learned in the first place and developed, even if you don't have a natural ability at it. And that's what I would position myself with regard to the gift of leadership. Oh, yeah, this is another... This was taken on the same swimming trip that we had. Look at that. Perhaps we should move to a less distracting picture. There we go, of me. Leadership is not something I would say is my natural gift. It's not my primary spiritual gift. And I never have had a natural gift in leadership. Instead, it's something that I have slowly learned, very, very slowly learned over the years in my calling to serve the church. It's something I've had to learn and something I've had to grow into. Now, I would say that I am a reasonably good leader, but it is not where my natural gifting lies. And where I've done well in leadership is because Holy Spirit, me, and you have developed it in me together. So there are leaders for whom leadership is a natural ability. There are leaders who have learned and developed their leadership skills over time. And very soon, we're going to ask Holy Spirit to release the gift of leadership in this room for the benefit of the body of Christ and for the benefit of those who are beyond this room as well. Even if it is not a natural gifting, we're going to invite you to stand and to receive the anointing of God's Spirit. And if it is a natural gifting, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and rev it up a bit. And it's going to be great. Before I do that, I want to draw on a couple of other scriptures about the gift of leadership. There's so much can be said about leadership and so much that has been said about leadership. But I want to draw on just a couple of other scriptures before we pray. Because leaders are, by definition, the most visible of all those using their gifts in church, Paul insists on a higher personal standard for those who are called to lead. I'll say that again. Because arguably, those of us in leadership are the most visible of those who exercise their spiritual gifts. The New Testament requires us to be subject to a higher level of personal lifestyle scrutiny. I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy 3, just to give you a flavor of that. This is 1 Timothy 3, beginning of verse 2. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, or indeed, if they are a woman in leadership who's married, faithful to her husband, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. He must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And Titus 1 has a similar list of moral standards expected of leaders in God's church. So according to the Bible, if you're going to lead in church, you are going to, and if you're going to exert influence over others and have others follow your example as you follow Christ, the way Paul puts it, then we need to expect to be subject to a high level of personal and lifestyle scrutiny. Now, I'm reading through that list, and I'm just thinking, well, I honestly can't say I fulfill all of those all of the time as a leader. That might shock you. I'm not going to tell you which ones, but you can guess. This level of scrutiny does not mean that leaders need to be perfect before they start leading or during leading. If it did do, I wouldn't be here. In fact, you'd have no one leading you here at St. Barnabas Church. No one would have it. God's grace is sufficient for us, and God forgives us. We do not need to be perfect in order to lead for God. But we do need to expect a high level of scrutiny, and we need to embrace that. And I embrace it thankfully. And the places where I am transparent and the places where I am open, I am thankful for that, because I've seen what happens when leaders are not accountable and there is not that level of transparency. You do not have to be perfect, but you do need to expect a high level of scrutiny if you're going to lead in God's kingdom. Last thing I want to say, then we're going to pray. Actually, it's the second to last thing I'm going to say before we pray. Mark 10, verses 42 to 35 says this. Jesus called his disciples together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials make people subject to them? Well, not so with you." You say those four words with me? Not so with you. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." What did the Son of Man come to do? Serve. That's right. And in stark contrast to what we often, not always, but what we often see in our fallen world, leadership in the kingdom of God is all about serving others. It's all about serving others. Or as I like to put it, the leader is the one who looks after the rest. The leader is the one who takes care and looks after the rest. I'll give you an example of this. So there's a mom and she's taking a bunch of kids on her son's birthday ice skating trip. She drives them there. She sorts out the skate hire. She picks up any of the kids who fall over on the ice. She drives them home. She makes them tea. And then she sees them back safely with her parents. There is no doubt throughout the trip who is in charge, right? I mean, there is no doubt who the leader of that trip is. And there is no doubt who is serving everyone else. That's leadership in the kingdom of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is releasing when he gives and develops the gift of leadership to the church. Serving others, looking after the rest, putting their interests above our own, and using our influence, using our gifting to look after the rest according to God's direction and leading. So, just in case you thought being a leader was a cushy job and it involves sitting on the top floor and having people fetch you coffee and shine your shoes for you and do errands and things like that, a higher level of scrutiny and you are learning to become the servant of all. I mean, it's a race to the bottom to see how many people can I lift up today. That's kingdom leadership, regardless of the poor examples we see. Final comment, and then we're going to pray. The spiritual gift of leadership is given according to Romans 12, and we need to read things in context. According to Romans 12, it's given for the benefit of the body of Christ. We said that earlier. But like all gifts and all skills and all virtues that are developed here in the church context, The gift of leadership, as it is developed in a Christ-like way, will be of benefit to you and to those whom you lead outside the church context as well. So if you find yourself in a leadership position in a secular context rather than a church context, the spiritual anointing of leadership, which is for the body of Christ, according to Paul, it still will have relevance and blessing and impact on the way you lead elsewhere. Okay? So we're going to pray for leadership, and we're going to pray for the release of leadership here at St. Barnabas for the benefit of the body of Christ, but it is also for the benefit of beyond. So it is finally now time for us to ask the Holy Spirit to further release the gift of leadership. The band are going to come back and join me on the platform, and I'm going to explain what I have in mind. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand or raise your hand if you're not able to stand. If you identify, either I have that gift, I know that I do, and I just need to swallow my humility and say, yeah, this is how God has anointed me, and I want to identify that I have that gift. Or you're like, I'm not sure I do have that gift. I've never seen it abundantly in me, but I think that is something that God is raising up in me. A bit like Colin, maybe not, might not be your sweet spot gift, your primary gift, but it is something I know God wants to raise up in me, God that wants to release in me. And I'm just going to get you to stand or raise your hand. Does that sound okay? So if that's you, stand now or raise your hand, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for inspiring him to teach us about the spiritual gifts. And thank you for the spiritual gifts. Thank you for the ways in which you equip us, Holy Spirit, to fulfill Jesus's calling to be the body of Christ. And I want to pray for St. Barnabas now, for everyone standing, that your spirit would come now. Come, Holy Spirit. And either release for the first time or release more fully the anointing, the spiritual gift of leadership as described in Romans 12. Come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love how the natural can speak of the supernatural. And just the way the band came in there reminds me of how the Spirit comes sometimes. He comes so gently, doesn't he? Sort of sneaks in on us. I love you. Let me anoint you now. Father, I want to pray for more of the anointing. For the dozens of church contexts in which everyone standing will be leading, and for the hundreds of contexts beyond the church where the anointing of your Spirit will be felt through Christ-like leadership. Come, more of you, Lord. Come. If you sat down, just raise your hand towards those who are standing near you and just pray for them. Pray like I'm praying now. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Jesus. Father, I want to pray for a joyful expectation of a higher level of moral scrutiny for those who are standing. A joyful embracing of what the Bible describes as holiness. And all that you do in us, Holy Spirit, to enable us to conform to the likeness of Christ in our moral and personal choices, and our ability to receive from the cross where the shortfall lies. And some of us right now, as the Lord is convicting us of certain sins, and he's saying, look, you're going to be more effective when you bring this with a friend to the cross of Jesus. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, it says in James 5. But there's a group of others that I want to pray for. And in fact, what I want to do is invite you forward. I hope there's going to be room at the front, because it might not be a small group. I want to pray those of you who are standing, or those of you who've identified in some other way, the anointing of leadership, and you are discouraged. And you've been pushed back. Or you've been hurt in leadership. You know, you've stuck your head above and said, I'll take care of that. And it's been damaging for you. And you feel quite pushed back in leadership. Almost to the point you think, I'm not sure I want to do this leadership thing anymore. I'll serve in a way that's not as visible or spearheading. So if that's you, just come forward right now. Don't wait, come now. And we're going to pray for you. That's it. Sarah's given us a good lead. Come on, Atana. The rest of you, where you feel pushed back, you feel like, I haven't been honored. I haven't been loved. I haven't been treated. Oh, I might have made mistakes, but I didn't deserve to be really hammered. If you feel discouraged in leadership, come forward. I know there are more. At 9:30, we had to wait and wait and wait. Just come forward now. If I were with you in the seats rather than up here, I'd be standing down here at the front. Man, I've experienced such discouragement as a leader over the years. And it's times like this, and times when people say kind things or write me nice emails, that you get lifted up again. Okay, it's not too late to come forward. Ministry team and anyone else who's authorized to minister, just circulate and just pray God's healing, pray God's encouragement. Any prophetic words that you have, just pray it over this lot. I want to pray for everyone, Lord God, who is responding to be equipped by you for leadership. And we know sometimes it is like volunteering to be unpopular. Because when we give a lead, sometimes it's not the lead that people want. And I want to pray for an outpouring of resilience, like Jesus, who led in a way that made enemies and divided people. I want to pray, Lord God, for a supernatural resilience in my own heart and in the heart of anyone who would say, God has called me to lead. God has equipped me and he has made me resilient. Not hard-hearted, because we want to have tender hearts, but thick-skinned. Pray, Lord God, for a release of resilience among those of us who are called to lead, particularly those of us who feel discouraged, feel like we've given a lead and we've just been pushed back. Come, Lord. Spirit of God, mighty river, come.